Many of you know that in the last year and a half of my life, I've become very passionate about shooting clay pigeons and about pheasant hunting. And I thank God for the friends that have shared their time with me and gotten me involved in these great sports. Two of them happen to be four-legged friends, by the way. And it just is so very enjoyable that they have been so hospitable in sharing their time and their talents and their own passions. But in one particular day, as we came home late in the morning from hunting, it had been a good morning. I got two birds that morning and was out in the backyard plucking them and cleaning them and preparing them and dressing them. And something just said to me, I want you to give them to this particular family or household in this community. And the first thought that went through my mind was, these are my birds. I shot these birds. I walked back and forth. I spent the time. It was enjoyable, and they're going to be very good on a cold winter night this winter to enjoy again and remember the day that I got them. But as I went on, I kept hearing this voice saying, I want you to share them. I want you to give them to this particular household in this community. And I have to say that this was a lesson in what the psalmist writes in Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. After a few moments of this wrestling back and forth with my feelings, I soon realized these were not my birds. They belong to God, as does everything in this earth. And that God was asking me that because He blessed me and gave me the good times that I had that morning, now it was time for me to return the favor, to bless someone else, to be hospitable, to live out my faith, to be who God really called me to be. So we turn to our text today in Romans chapter 12. We see Paul writing to the believers in Rome about hospitality, because one of the things that sets Christians apart from average people in this world, unbelievers, people that believe in other deities, gods, follow other religions, is that Christians are hospitable. They practice hospitality. First, I want you to remember, as we began this text back in beginning of chapter 12 a few weeks ago, Paul was writing in the context of what he had already said in 11 chapters. Because of all that God's done for you and the mercy that He's shown you in Jesus Christ, therefore, I'm urging you to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, because that's your spiritual act of worship. Sacrificing your lives, giving your lives, and in doing this through a renewed mind, having our minds renewed, remembering that because of what God did for us, it's now our turn to act, to put our faith into motion. And in doing that, we're able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Many people say to me, I just wish I knew God's will for my life. The Bible's full of God's will for our lives. And Paul was telling the believers in Rome that when your mind is renewed and your life's transformed, you soon begin to know the will of God for your life. And first he began to say in verse 3 that they were not to think of themselves more highly than they ought. In other words, the first step of a believer's life when their mind is renewed and their lives are transformed is to put away their selfish pride, remembering that I am no better than the next person. In fact, the Bible tells us we are to lift others up higher than us. Once we put our pride aside, it's time to step into action, to get moving into action. And in order to act as we should as Christians, it involves putting our pride aside. Because the things that God asks us to do in His Word are work. They're hard to do. We cannot do them if our pride is puffed up and we think we are any better than anyone else. The first thing He begins to say is when He talks about love in verse 9 this morning. He says, love must be sincere. In other words, He's saying that we cannot as Christians love others hypocritically. We can't say, oh, I just love everybody. I love you. I love you. I love everybody. And then when we turn our backs, on them, we go away thinking, well, I'm better than they are, though, even though I love them. Our sacrifices to God are lived out in everyday life, and God's mercy to us dictates our outward affections, our outward attitude, and our outward actions. True Christianity begins with a renewed mind inside ourselves, and it manifests itself in a transformed life and a proper personal attitude outside. And it's played out in the lives of Christians. We are not hostile people. We do not kill infidels. We worship a God who does not tell us to kill infidels. God is a God of love, and followers of Christ are to be lovers of all people, because then we are living out our godly, holy lives as God wishes. God's will for us is to give up and give out. We give up our pride and we begin to give out. And the first thing we give out is our love. But Paul says that love has to be sincere. That word love that he's using there is the word agape in the Greek, which means an affection or a benevolence, an inclination to do good for others always. Not just saying I love you, but actually putting those words in motion in our hands and our feet, in what we say and what we do. Sincere love requires concentration. It requires effort. It requires time. It requires money. It requires personal involvement. When we talk about love being sincere, we look at what the opposite is, and the opposite is hypocritical. If we say we love others, let's show others that we love them. If we're to be like Christ, we're to love the world. And we're to love in such a way as the agape love that this word means in the Greek. It is a self-sacrificing love. It's the word in 1 John 4 that describes God, that John uses to describe God. God is a God of love, agape, self-sacrificial. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul told the Philippians, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Our attitudes have to be the same as Christ Jesus if we're truly Christians. And our love is to be sincere. The King James Version says, love is to be without dissimulation, implying it's not supposed to be false or pretend. Do you know anybody that is a pretend lover? They'll tell you one day they love you and the next day they'll stab you in the back. He goes on to say, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. This word that he's using here for evil means hurtful or harmful. Hate those things that are harmful or hurtful to others. We're supposed to hate them. Today in our day and age, we say hate's such a strong word. We don't want to say that. The Bible's full of the word hate because it means something. It means hurtful, harmful. It's different from the Greek word referring to somebody's character. So you see, what he's saying here is not to hate the person, but to hate the thing that is hurtful or harmful to that person. And that we are to love them sincerely. He goes on to say, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. This brotherly love in the Greek is the word Philadelphia, which we know Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love, they call it. That brotherly love is a fraternal affection connected by blood. If we are to love one another, to be devoted to one another in that brotherly love, it's because we're connected as blood brothers. And that blood that we're connected by is the blood of Jesus Christ. We're to be devoted to one another as believers, never lacking in zeal, but keeping spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Never lacking in intense enthusiasm, but we are supposed to keep our spiritual fervor, our spiritual warmth, our emotion. The Greek word for that implies that we're to be hot. We're to be on fire. for what we're doing for Christ. He goes on to say, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. And lastly, share with God's people who are in need. He sums it all up with two words, practice hospitality. Hospitality. Philenixia in the Greek. Hospitality, which means to entertain strangers. Practice entertaining strangers. It comes from the Greek word philos, which means a dear friend, like a brother or sister. We're supposed to practice entertaining strangers as if they were a dear friend or a brother or sister. That's kind of hard, isn't it? That's hard to do for us today, to entertain strangers. It's easy for us to entertain our friends, those in our cliques, those that we get along with, those that might be on the same social level that we are or financial level. That's easy. In fact, the Bible tells us, what good is that? To love somebody that loves us. Let's love somebody maybe that doesn't love us, or somebody that's hard to love. Practice hospitality, entertaining strangers. Practice hospitality. I was thinking this morning about a good example of what this would be for us. Right here, right now, this morning in church, of practicing hospitality, sharing what we have with others, knowing that all that we have is God's, and we are just called to share that with others. And I thought, how would you feel if after we took up the collection this morning, I called the ushers forward, I said, I want you to pass those plates back around full of money and tell all of you folks, anyone in need financially this morning, take from that plate. Any or all if you need. What would you think? That's my money in there. I gave that for the church, right? A lot of us would right away jump to that feeling. I put that there for a specific purpose. That's my money. But you see, what God is calling us to do and what Paul is trying to tell the Romans here is that we are to give all, sacrificing our lives, being a living sacrifice, offering everything to others. Hospitality focuses on the needs of others, not on the goodness of the host. We don't worry about whether our house is clean, whether about us, we're doing the right thing, whether we put two forks, three forks, one fork on the plate or on the table. We don't worry about things like that. We worry about the needs of the person we're serving. It's not social entertaining. It's Christ-centered embracing of everyone. And it comes in the form of maybe food, maybe a place to stay, maybe just a listening ear, maybe just acceptance into your group or your gathering. It comes in the form of financial aid. And I think in terms, of course, of my story this morning, it came in the form of my friend with their dogs, sharing their dogs to hunt with me, with a friend that I have who shares their land that we can go and shoot together on this land. It might be in the form of a ride to the store, maybe just a visit to their home, maybe a phone call, maybe baking a pie and taking over, or baking a meal and taking over to someone. It can happen anywhere. It can happen in a messy home. It can happen over a bowl of soup. It can happen in the workplace. It can happen on a park bench. It can happen in school. It can happen in a truck. It can happen on the phone. It can happen on Facebook. It can happen anywhere at any time. Christian hospitality creates a culture of love. And that's what Paul's trying to say. Our love must be sincere, and if it is sincere, you will see it in the Christian person. You will see them living out their lives because they're transformed, as Paul said in the beginning. And they're transformed because they realize what God did for them in Jesus Christ on the cross. Therefore, they live out their lives according to God's grace and mercy. They're thankful. They're not hoarding. They're just passing it on. Everything they have that somebody else might benefit. And the proper personal perspective that we find in verses 1 through 8, presenting our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, knowing God's will, giving up our pride, doing these things leads to proper people practices that Paul's now talking about in these verses. Loving others, hating what hurts them, hating what is harmful to them, being devoted, honoring them, giving them a greater place of honor, and doing it zealously, on fire. A transformed life is evident. A transformed life is lived out in the life of a believer. And we see, as Paul continues on now, he's starting to tell us what to do and what not to do. And the first thing he says is, practice hospitality. So we start to see here in our reading, in verses 9 and 10, when we practice hospitality, when we live out our faith, we start to see our outward affections changing in true self-sacrifice, being devoted to one another, honoring one another, setting someone with higher honor than we are. It's also lived down in our outward attitude, that we're zealous, that we have intense enthusiasm, that we're spiritually fervent or on fire, that we're joyful, that we're calmly happy because of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that we know that no matter how hard it is to go see that person in the nursing home because we don't like the smell there, because we can't stand the sight of old people suffering, that we can still go. We're calmly happy. We're joyful because we know that God is going to give us strength through it all. That we're not alone in doing it. That we're to be patient. We know that it's not always going to be easy. It's not always pleasant. We're going to let that person ride in our car. They haven't taken a bath for a week. It doesn't matter. If Jesus Christ was able to go to the cross for us and hang there for us, how little does the sacrifices He asks us to make seem in doing for others? A transformed life is also evident and lived out in our outward actions, in that we're hospitable. We share. We share everything. We share our hopes, our dreams, our material possessions, our churches, our pews, our times together, our hurts, our joys. Because you see, we're one body. And when we share, when we're hospitable, we come together as one body. And one lifts up the other in sharing what we have. Now the question might be for you this morning, well, that doesn't describe me. I don't know if I'm really fervent in all I do. I don't know if I'm really hospitable. Well, am I really a Christian? I want you to remember what Paul's talking about here in this text. He's talking about sacrifice. The word sacrifice, remember, in the Greek is thusia. It's from the Greek thuo. It means to rush. And when you rush around doing things, what are you doing? You're breathing hard. You're breathing hard because it's work. It is work. It's hard. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't mean we sit down on the bench and quit. It means that's time to look to God and say, give me that one little bit of strength more that I can complete this task that You've called me to do. The writer of Hebrews tells us, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. Because, you know, sometimes the writer says, when we're doing that, we're entertaining angels. So we should never forget to show hospitality. When Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus, he was writing about the qualifications needed in an overseer in the church. The Christian leadership, the qualifications that they needed, the qualities in the Christian leaders. They were to be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, and able to teach. Hospitable. Hospitality was one of the characteristics of the Christian leaders that Paul was telling Timothy and Titus. They must be hospitable. And Peter himself writes in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Because you see, folks, when we live out our Christian lives as transformed people, the glory of God shines through. Others are blessed. Others give God the praise. And as Peter says, to God be the glory and the power forever and ever. I know it's hard. I've been there. I've been around people that are hard to love and asked to take care of them. But you know, it's just such a great blessing that God calls us to do this as believers and followers of Jesus Christ. Because when we truly do, others can see that our lives are transformed. And they might begin to ask themselves, why? Why does that person do that? Why do they love people the way they do? Why are they compassionate toward others? Why are they so giving? And the answer is, because love is sincere in them. And when love is sincere, we will truly practice hospitality. God has given us so much. We have so much to be thankful for. We're not to be hoarders. We're just meant to be handlers, passing it on through, knowing that God's going to keep on giving as we keep on giving. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, even though it might be hard at times to sacrifice the things in life that you've given us, help us to be living out our lives because we're transformed people in Jesus Christ. I pray that the light of life and the light, your light, is evident in us as we live out our lives. That our outward affections, our outward attitudes, and our outward actions are all changed so that others can see Christ in us, and that your light shines in a darkened world to bring light to all people, even those that we consider less than us. Help us to raise them up that they might feel important, that they might know they're loved by you, and that they might give you the praise that you deserve. And to you be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's close this morning by singing number 408.